we've all probably heard the saying of, you know, the five people you surround yourself with the most, particularly the ones that influence you the most, right? And you kind of look around and go, okay, that's why they're that way. That's why they're that way. You know, what would happen if you took ownership of that and the people you surround yourself with? And what I have done in my life, and I've seen successful people do that, is when you get to a point in your life and you know you need to take action, you need to reach out to people that are doing what you want to do, that are more successful than you are. They've gone down that road a little bit further. And what I have found with that is people are willing to help. Typically, people that have all the success, they have a lot of money. Look, they've got a lot of friends. They've got a lot of stuff. What really, I would say, is giving back to them is they want to help other people.
Welcome, my friend, to the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And as a veteran of the financial services industry, I was curious to find out why, despite all the good that financial professionals do, that the term financial advisor would normally clear the room at a dinner party. Why was this? And what was this gap between consumers and providers of financial services? In this podcast, I seek to close this gap by having forward-moving conversations to advance the profession of giving financial advice and providing tools to the next generation of financial professionals to serve their clients at the highest level. As providers, we have the awesome privilege of partnering with our future clients to help change family trees, normalize the creation of wealth, and help the industry as a whole do less harm and more good. In today's conversation, we have Brian Covey, former U.S. Olympic soccer player and now VP of one of the largest mortgage companies in America, talking about making the pivot as a career changer. In this conversation, we talk about being brave enough to leave a career where you've built up the reputational and the social capital that it takes to be a leader in your industry. And Brian gives some tidbits on about what it takes to make that leap. We also cover learning as a career changer. There are a lot of different interesting conversations about resilience, perspective, and mindset. And Brian shared with us what he endured in his career change. So many things that I feel are applicable for aspiring financial professionals looking to be successful in the financial services industry. We also talked about the keys to maintaining a mindset and constantly being a growth and investing in yourself mode while making a major career transition, and the things that short circuit people when they go down this path. Brian also provides advice for those experiencing this during the Great Resignation and tools to employ when making the important decision like leaving your current job or career. I feel that you're gonna really learn a lot in this. There's a lot of value packed into our conversation. So without further ado, sit back and enjoy the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of advice. And today, we have Mr. Brian Covey. I'm just going to read your bio as it goes. I believe I'm a big, strong believer in giving your flowers to someone while they're still here. So I kind of look at that as that's what happens when the bio goes or gets read. How do you go from pro soccer player to VP of one of the largest mortgage companies in America? More importantly, what did you learn along the way, or what did Brian learn along the way? The answer is a lot. Once an Olympic U.S. soccer player, you quickly learn how to get cut and literally get cut. Fitness and mindset became masteries for you very early in your career, which was affected by the 2007 market crash. Just years after your soccer team's days came to an end, right when you were raising toddlers with your wife, Nicole. Oh my gosh, timing is everything, right? Yeah. You've mastered the art of a growth mindset, the art of winning, and the art of staying fit, and you believe in the integration of health over all things. You're an executive at Loan Depot, a proud father, an influencer, a top-rate podcaster, and just simply a fabulous soccer dad. You're able to be between suits and shorts as you coach your daughter's league with joy several times a week. Conversations with Covey is your new book, which highlights some of the most incredible stories you've gotten to share on your podcast on The Brian Covey Show. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Dominic. It's exciting. Great connection from Steve. And I've been looking forward to this one. I love the energy. Yeah, and I'll take – it's crazy when you're reading that. I'm going through. I'm like, okay. And I still feel like I've got more to do, you know?
The great thing about hearing those bios is, even though it might sound like you know, I don't know, for the listener, hopefully it doesn't sound like drudgery, but it's like, okay, you're reading. But it's like, dude, you know, these are accomplishments. It's good to acknowledge that stuff. And, you know, like I said earlier, give people their flowers while they're still here. So no, we're gonna chop it up on something I think is really huge in context of what's going on in today's world. We were just talking about this in the digital green room, the Great Resignation. There are a lot of people that are just like, you know, kind of like fed up with where they're at. And they're like, man, I'm not going in this job anymore. It's draining my energy and I'm going to do something different. And I think your story is one that needs to be highlighted and told because of everything I just read. Right. I think you have a lot of takeaways for career changers looking to get into this industry. So tell us, who is Brian Covey, man? Who is this guy, this former pro soccer player turned now VP of one of the largest mortgage industry or mortgage companies in the industry?
I love bios because they tell you all these factual things, but they don't tell you the story behind the story. So I give you a little insight into things you're not going to read online or see on Instagram and all that. But you know, as you hear that, when I made the Olympic team the first time and the U.S. national team, I'm going through the pools. If you know anything about sports, like the higher the level gets, the more pressure there is. And you realize everybody's really good at that level. And there's only a few things that really separate those that are really, really good and those that are great. Mm-hmm. And although I made that final team in the final pool, I actually didn't make the final team that went on to go to Japan that year. And so it was probably my first big setback in life to realize, wow, I made it all this way, but I didn't get selected. And there's that crossroad in life that I think we all have, whether we got fired from a job, we interviewed for a job we didn't get, you know, that relationship that didn't go the way we wanted, the market crashed for me in 07 that I was in, mortgage at that time still. You got two choices. You can either feel sorry for yourself, you know, surround yourself with people that are going to tell you, it's okay, it's okay. And they're going to make you feel good about yourself in that moment. And you're going to sit there and not take action. Or you can be in this other camp. You don't quit. You figure out your resiliency. You figure out what you're made of. You start to learn who you really are. And you're like, you know what? I am actually tough. I am good at what I do. And I'm going to stick to what I committed and what I said I was going to do. And I believe I am destined for something great. And I would encourage everybody, like when you're faced with that, and you will be, because I have several times in my career, you've got to keep going. And I think I learned that at an early age in sports of, no matter win or loss, no matter you're selected for the final team, not selected for the final team, you have to show up. And the difference between us winning and winning really, really big is a small margin many times. It's that little extra effort every day, that little bit of extra knowledge or skill that we go seek and we acquire. And what you won't see in the bios, okay, 07, obviously everybody knows about the crash. Now what you were doing then, Dominique, that was horrible. I'm in Florida, as you were kind of sharing. We had our first two kids. Both were under 2 years old. My job gets eliminated. The market is completely crashing. Our house is worth probably 50, 60% of what we paid for it a few years before. And I'm sitting there, probably 31 years old, going, man, is this what I'm meant to do? Like, is this what life is about? Like, you start questioning everything that's there.
Yeah.
Well, what's great about that is there's a lot more to that story that I unpack sometimes, but it prepared me for almost 5 years ago when I was let go, had a mentor working for a great company at the time. Had somebody I looked up to. It was like, hey, man, you're just not right for the team. Nothing to do with performance and results. Just, hey, man, you're not right for the team. We're going to go a different direction. I'm sitting there like, okay, now what? And those are the life-changing moments. That was a catalyst for me to realize, you know what? I need to work on myself. I need to make sure that I'm constantly learning and growing. I've got to make sure I'm so valuable that if somebody does say, hey, man, we don't need you anymore, or I build a company and sell it, what's next? What am I able to transition into next that I've acquired the skills and the network to immediately go transition? And I wasn't prepared. I should have been after 07, but I wasn't. And that was really a catalyst for me that I share with people. You've always got to be ready. You never know when that rug's going to get pulled out from under you. And you need to know what you're great at and be ready to pivot and ready to transition for anything that life throws at you.
No, I think that's powerful. There's a lot that you said in there. I'm trying to see what rabbit hole I want to hop down. There's, you know, the pandemic obviously pulled the rug out from under a lot of us in a lot of ways. Depending on how you were positioned specifically in this industry, if you were traditional, let's call it brick and mortar, sitting behind the mahogany desk in a suit, you know, your clients probably didn't come in to see you during the pandemic. I would imagine they didn't. And if you weren't positioned or poised to pivot towards video and deliver the same type of experience that they signed up for, they may have left you. I don't know. I'm just saying. So there's a word you use that I want you to unpack this a little bit. Resiliency, because everybody, no matter what industry in, what life, you know, what color skin you have, it doesn't really matter. You're going to have some points of resiliency. And there's a lot that you said that I want you to kind of unpack in that word, because, you know, doing the hard things, right? You know, showing up when you don't feel like it. You know, I couldn't imagine how many soccer drills you went through after everybody's left practice in order to be selected for an Olympic team. Maybe talk about that resiliency a little bit, because I think that's a transferable skill that a lot of people need to kind of like hone in on, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I love that you picked up on that, because that is something that I realize now that I pulled from sports at an early age. And I'll give my dad credit, and I had some coaches and mentors, that they would always push that little bit extra. And what you're looking for in a great athlete or a great team member, for each of us to be great, what are you doing when nobody's watching? What are you doing when you know it's uncomfortable and you're tired and you don't want to do more? You don't want to give more. You don't want to wake up early and maybe go get that workout in. You don't want to read that extra book. You don't want to take that extra course that you know is going to make you better. I think those are the times that define who you are and your ability to be resilient in the face of your feelings. And we use a term with our team that we have chosen action over feelings. Mm-hmm. And I'll have that as a trigger. Anytime I let my feelings start to tell me, hey, Brian, you don't need to get up this morning and go do that. Hey, you don't need to spend that extra time this weekend working on that project. Hey, you don't need to make that extra trip to go see the team. Hey, you don't need to make that extra phone call. Look, we all have that voice inside our head. The difference between people that I think have true resiliency, they've worked that muscle, is that they're going to do it every day. It's not I do it once a week. You know, I love people that talk about, oh, I'm grinding. Man, I don't know what your definition of grinding is, but here's how I look to show up. Resiliency is showing up each and every day and doing that little bit extra so that over time, over a year, 360 plus days a year, I'm stacking bricks. I'm stacking wins. And that's where it's going to happen, because if you try to be somebody that you're going to go out there and do the sprint, just like in a race, what if you start the race, you start in a sprint, and I start in a good pace, and you realize, uh-oh, it's not a 400 meter, it's a 5K. You're not going to finish the race as strong as you started. You need to be able to build the muscle. And that's why I talk a lot of times about fitness and working out for me became not just the physical side, because it builds confidence, it builds all your, you know, feeling good about yourself, all that stuff. It built the mindset for me that I'm like, man, I'm going to start the day, I'm going to do hard things. I love workouts, honestly, Dominic, that I want to quit in the middle of them, and I don't. Because I've proven to myself in that moment, I don't quit. The more you do it and the more you build that muscle, watch how that will transfer into your life, and you'll start to do hard things just naturally. It'll become who you are, not just what you do. And that resiliency for me, we talk about a lot with our team. We don't quit.
Yeah, that's huge. That's really huge, because I think about your personal story of building up the wherewithal, the reputation, the social capital, if you will, the reputational capital of an athlete, and what that all takes, and then pivoting full time. What does Charles Barkley say? Father time is undefeated. Sometimes, you know, we're not going to be able to do our career, you know, athletics and everything else that we may do at a younger age forever. But maybe start to talk about some of the stuff that you do have to shed in a pivot that you built up, that you hold on to. They're trophies, so to speak, right? I kind of want to park on that a little bit, because I remember talking to a career changer that was coming out of the military, went through my program, did the CFP, did all this stuff. And we got into what she was really going through when it came to leaving what people know her for, what she's known for, what people call on her for, what she gets pride in. an acknowledgement, and then starting over in a lot of ways, and the emotional toll that had on her. And I was like, I told people, I was like, give yourself space to feel that way, because that's a real emotion that I think our culture maybe sweeps under the rug. So maybe talk about your personal battle, if you will, with that part of it.
You know, I think for all of us, I know my journey being an athlete and getting to play collegiately and professionally and all that stuff, and you have this identity that's created of you are this athlete. And I think there are things you want to take with you. And I think there are things, as you said, that you want to leave behind. You know, and one of those I would say is we have claimed on to this phrase, collaboration over competition. And it's really become a mainstay for us. And what that really means for me and for our team is, don't get me wrong, we are highly competitive. If you spend time around our group, you're going to realize like we're competitive at everything. We love to win. We talk about we love to dominate, not just win. But what you'll realize is you shift from athletics and you're so focused on yourself, there is a bit of ego that you need to shed. There's a bit of this part that it's all about me and I've got to do this. And you are putting your body through a sense of like really high intensity that at some point the body's not going to continue to do it, right? And we're not all Tom Brady. We can't play into our 40s and do that. But I think ego is something to understand, because ego can be an asset or it can be a liability for you. And if you understand who you are and what you're great at, you don't let that ego become something that I'm better than other people, I've done all these things, so I'm better. No, no, there are lessons that I learned that I can transfer some of that to you. And becoming a great teammate, you know, in soccer, there's 11 people on the field. And what I share with everybody all the time is the reality is the best teams are the ones that win. You'll see teams today that have the best players, and yet they don't come together. And in business and in life and career transitions, I would say building relationships is something that you need to build on and off the field, on social media, off social media, inside your company, outside your company. Your ability to build relationships with people that you can add value to, but will also add value in your life, is really going to be that relationship capital that you were referring to earlier. And so the last one I would share with you is sports was a good training ground in the sense of things don't always go your way. You've got a coach in your ear. And what I look for in people today, if anybody were looking to make a transition, or you would ask, hey, Brian, what's one of the top things you look for in someone? I look for people that are coachable. Here's why. It's really simple. The best players you see on the field may not actually be the ones that consistently perform game after game and year after year. Actually, the marquee players, if you're asked a coach, who are their favorite people? It are the players that show up early and stay late. But they're the ones that are most coachable. They can receive feedback in the moment and not take it personal and take action and not just go, yeah, I know my boss is telling me that. I know people have told me I need to do that. I don't know if that's for me. No. If someone tells you something, you need to reflect on it, but you need to act quickly. Because most people just sit on this too long and they receive feedback, then take action. So I love coachable people. That would be one I would say.
That's huge. Because the coach, it's kind of weird, you know. So I high jumped in high school and in college. And my daughter, my youngest daughter, also high jumped in. So I coached her in high school. And, you know, it's weird how this works with a coach. It's like your coach is not, you know, you don't have like a Bill Belichick out there running plays and throwing the ball. But he sees things in a Tom Brady or whoever that he can point out. And it's those little blind spots that allow you to get to the next level, to your point about being coachable. And I wonder, because I always tell people, I'm like, look, there's really three things that I think make for a successful financial service professional. You got to have motivation / determination. You got to show up with that. I can't really give you that. You got to want to put in the hours. You got to want to do this. You need skills and knowledge, but you really need opportunity. And I think being coachable presents you with opportunity. You talked about a couple things that I want you to unpack, is that this reputational capital, this network of people you can draw on for mentorship or coaching or even just looking over your resume. Maybe talk about some of the things you would advise or coach career changers on to be thinking about when they make this pivot or make this switch, how to remain coachable and keep their opportunity set open.
Oh, I love that, because that's one we could talk about for a while. But here's what I would share in my experiences. If you are looking at where you are today and where you want to be, we all have this gap that exists. And for many people, it truly is in the relationships. And I don't think it's ever been easier when you look at social media today. And just like we're connecting now, over the last year and a half, when everything really shut down, some of my, what I would say, biggest influences on my life have been people that I have not met. Some I was fortunate enough recently to go meet in person, and we were able to coordinate that. But think about today, you're one person, one connection away from changing your life. Seriously, like, I believe that. It's happened to me. And for everyone out there, many times it's not going to come knocking on your door. And people will wait for this. And if you're one of those people, I will tell you, go take action today. Get on social media, reach out to people. And one way you can do that is you can reach out to people that have a podcast. And if you are someone that's following their show, reach out to them. See if you can be a guest. You probably have a story. You probably have something of value you can add. Not everybody's going to start their own podcast. Cool. Be a guest. That's the way I started, and I started to make connections through that. What's great about that is that introduced me to other people that I started to build my network through. And what you always want to be doing is building up this relationship capital. And what I mean by that is you're adding value to them. And it could be as simple as I was very strategic for several years of finding my top 25 people, not only in my industry, people I wanted to work with, maybe customers, referral partners, recruits, all of them. And I would go onto their social posts and I would engage with them, not with a one or two word comment. I would thoughtfully respond and engage to make them feel validated, to show them that I cared. And what's happening is their boss probably isn't doing it. And the people around them probably aren't doing it. And that's going to separate you from the pack. So if someone were to do that today and they're constantly just affirming and they're following along with things that I may post, well, guess what? If you reached out and you're like, hey, Brian, here are my skill sets. Here's what I have to offer. One, I'm probably going to take your call. I'm going to respond to your DM. And now I'm going to have a relationship with you that may have started on social. The simplest way today that people can engage, go on other people's posts, engage with them, start to build up these networks, because you never know, right, when life throws you a curveball and you need to reach out to someone and say, hey, I need help. Well, it'll be a lot easier if you've actually engaged with them versus, I know I've never reached out. I've never spoken to you before. It's hard to cut through that noise.
What's the first step in becoming a successful financial professional? Well, doing your homework. And there's no better place to understand the financial services industry than Jumpstart University. With video after video of hours and hours of content on topics like the different careers available in financial services, advice for making the switch as a career changer, what to consider when becoming an independent financial professional, how to attract and retain new clients, what's involved in becoming a certified financial planner, and day in the life of a financial advisor, with so much more. All of this for free. You just got to click through the YouTube ads. So head on over to YouTube now to check out Jumpstart YO University. You can find that at youtube.com/JumpstartYOUniversity. Now, let's get back to the conversation. You bring up a lot of good points. I even think about how we met. That I just reached out to Steve Sims and I was like, look, man, I love your stuff. Blue Fishing was great. Would you mind coming on and sharing some of those like client service, paramount, I would say, cornerstones on the podcast? And he was like, sure, great. And then his team reaches out to me and says, hey, do you need anybody else for your podcast? I'm like, yeah, well, I'm always looking for guests. And then your name shows up. So, you know, it's just an example of how those type of things work. You know, I've had some, you know, really great guests and conversations really is the way that I like to pose this, because it is conversations. You're meeting somebody and you're just being genuinely curious in another human. And I just wonder what your thoughts on how far that may take you in. You know, we talk about as entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, we got to market, we got to prospect, we got to do all this kind of stuff. And yes, we do. But do we start with just being genuinely curious in the other person, showing up, being present, and actively listening to whatever problem they may have? So to see if you can provide a solution, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we're in similar spaces where, you know, I've been in the mortgage business for 20 years, and the industry's changed quite a bit through those years. If you would have told me 3 years ago, 5 years ago, that I would actually recruit, build a relationship with, and hire leaders and people on the team that I'd never met in person, tell me, I would have laughed. I'm like, there is no chance, right? Like, what? You mean not meet someone in person? Like, that's how I was taught to do this. Well, guess what? We've hired 8 people. We have a team of over 20 leaders, and then the sales team's, you know, over 150. Well, those leaders we built relationships with through social. We connected up through Zoom calls, all these different things. The game has changed. And many times we're limiting ourselves, and we have these limiting beliefs of, oh, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. You know, that's where I started to challenge my own beliefs of, okay, Brian, you've done it this way. The company didn't lower my goals, right? Like, let's be real. Our CEO didn't say, hey, Brian, you know what? COVID has hit. You can't travel. Like, we don't need to hit those goals anymore. No, that's not how it works. The best people find ways to win. And we shifted. And what that's created is this culture that I think we're adapting to what is happening in the world right now. Of consumers are making a lot of decisions on their smartphone, whether it's, you know, for financial services, whether it's to buy a home, whether it's to get the mortgage. And I think we have to realize we have to show up in a lot of different places. And the thing I would share with anyone out there today is, if you don't show up, you've already lost. Your job every day is to earn a seat at the table. But that table may be with customers that you may do business with. It may be with companies that you want to potentially work for. If you're someone that's looking for a change in your career, your job, it may be for you to show up over here and start to build your personal brand. So people actually know what you do, why you're different, why they should reach out to you. There's lots of reasons why we should engage in that. But that's where that shift and those things for people today, look, it's how we connected, right? Like, Steve's done a lot of work with us, love what he's doing. Well, Steve and others, I would encourage, is he's building a community that you never know. You look in the community and go, oh, hey, I need this. I need a financial planner. Oh, I need a mortgage. Well, guess what? If I see you enough, I'm probably choosing you.
Yeah.
There's a factor to that, that you'll know them, you'll like them, and then ultimately, if the call goes well, you show up, you do what you do well, you're going to earn their trust.
I think there's a if I can say this, a breed of human that is adapting, probably has always, but definitely the pandemic has forced us to think about things different ways, has adapted to, I need to be cutting edge. I need to be more this. I need to be more that, right? When I could, you know, and don't get me wrong, if people are going to listen to this, but there's nothing wrong with leisure, right? I would love to, you know, kind of veg out on the latest Netflix or whatever, Hulu special. And it's not to say I don't have my requisite amounts of that, but okay, what book am I reading? Like, what, how am I investing into myself? So as we bring this into Forward Landing, I want you to talk about the ways you had to invest in yourself in your pivot. And this is going to be, I think, a gold mine for some of the career changers, because, you know, whether you choose to do CFP or any of these other things, there's a deposit or an investment you need to make in yourself if you plan to be a person to be able to serve others and for them to be able to draw out of that well of whatever you deposited for yourself. If you don't make a deposit for yourself for everything you invest in yourself, is through the University of YouTube, which is great, by the way. But like, at some point, you're going to have to probably pay for something in order to make that type of deposit. Talk about that and what some of the things that you've had to do to invest in yourself.
So no matter what level you're at, the reality is there's always another level for us to achieve. And here's what I know about my own journey and people on our team, and I watch this. If you want to know the difference between people that just talk about it and the people that like actually are about it, you can actually look at where they invest their money. If they don't back up and invest in a coach, if they don't invest in their personal brand, they're not investing in people, let's say with their media right now, I believe video and social media is going to be significant for whatever industry you're in. The reality is that's how you're going to connect with customers. Some of the old ways are not going to be there. And you can tell the difference between people that just talk about it and they are about it, because they actually put their money behind where they are. And I have yet to find, and I will say I've hired out a lot of people, right? And I've yet to find anyone that I paid money for that I didn't find at least one thing in my business or in my personal life that I could go implement that made my life better, right? Like, so that fear is really what's happening, is you don't believe in yourself. That's it. Because if you did, you would invest that $500, you'd invest that $1,000. And I'll tell you, a few years ago, after I'd gone through, you know, I had a mentor and like a really kind of close friend of mine basically let me go from the company. I took a step back. I didn't have the money to go on this retreat. I'd seen the Facebook ads. I'd reached out to this group. This guy worked with Tony Robbins and all this. And I'll never forget. I was like, you know what? This is a point I got to step up. And I put the entire weekend retreat on my credit card. I was like, you know what? Forget it. Like, I'm going all in. I got to do this. I'm betting on me. I didn't have the money, right? Like, it's one of those things like embarrassing to go, I don't have it. Well, I can confidently tell you 5 years later, not only am I an absolutely different leader, different person, different husband, different dad, like all those things there, nobody was coming to bet on me. Nobody was coming to do the work for me. And so if you're out there and you're thinking about what skills can you acquire, you need to find people, and you can find them online, right? You can reach out to me. I'll help connect you. There are people that will help you, but you need to put money behind what you're doing. There's a psychological commitment that happens when you do that. And there are courses out there, there are good people out there, and there are mentors that will teach you what you need to know. And what I've found, this is the number one thing that if you're thinking about this, is for you to accelerate your growth and at the rate of change that's happening, you need people around you. No one you see out there, guaranteed, has done it by themselves. No one. They've all had people in their camp. Listen to anyone that's successful. Listen how they talk about mentors or people in their life, whether it was a success or not a success. And I would say you've got to invest in yourself. And as you continue to go, continue to invest. Continue invest. And don't let off the gas. Because I've found this is the one driver that I'll tell my team. I can tell your trajectory and where you're going by the amount you're willing to invest in yourself. It's going to determine your success.
100%. No, I totally agree. I remember talking to I spend an hour each week with a mastermind, and we go through a frameology that I picked up from Brian Moran called the 12-week year. And yeah. One of the people in that mastermind, she talks about how she invests. She sets a personal development budget every year, and she increases it every year. And I was like, man, that's a great framework, a great thing to just include in what I'm doing. And so I've started to include that. And I think you have to your point, you have to always be seeking what that next level is, you know, the whole level up notion. And I like what you said also about limiting beliefs, because if you don't invest in yourself, you can't really expect anybody else to. And if that is on a credit card, think about all the other things that you spend money on. So it's like, well, I don't want to put on a credit card. Well, think about all the other money that you spent, you know, out of your budget for the month that probably should be deprioritized versus the yes. educating yourself and investing in yourself. What are your thoughts on some of the conversations you had? You know, you have a podcast, you got a new book out, Conversations with Covey. I want to maybe highlight, you know, one real takeaway story that you have, kind of to tease the audience a little bit, maybe to go out and support that effort by buying your book and kind of whet their appetite a little bit about one of the conversations you've had.
Oh, man. So this was a true honor. If you look at the 10 guests that were in there, and then I had my own chapter as well telling some of my story, is the common thread between all of us. And what I found is I interviewed, gosh, probably over 50 people, and we took the top 10 basically from the show, and we condensed it down because I know not everybody listens to a podcast. Some people still love to read. And we thought, well, what if we move it into that format and share it with them? The common thread that most people won't tell you that I believe is 100% true is that we're all a lot more alike than we are not. And many times we don't want to bring our uniqueness and all of who we are because we're afraid of being judged. We're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of what people might think. When the honest truth is, all the time I spent with these folks, they all have a little quirkiness to them. They all have a little edge to them. They all have this belief, but not arrogance. And they all have had at least one, like some of the ones I shared today, big setbacks where they got fired from a job, lost everything and had to start over. They've had to battle with brain tumors and cancer and all these things where you go, man, we're a lot more alike. Because that's probably happened to your family. It's probably happened to you or might happen to you. And I learned through that, we're all human. We all want to be happy. We all have very similar desires. But those that achieve success take massive action. And they take massive action each day. And they just start stacking bricks, as we call it. And they start doing it versus what I have seen in my experiences is people want to get rich quick. They want to be successful in a month or two. They want to have that fast path to financial freedom. When the reality is, it is hard work. You've got to commit to things. And if you do that, you can win at life. And what you'll realize through all of their stories is they were all very connected. Even though they might not have known each other, many of them have gone on and done business deals together and shows and podcasts and stuff. But what I realized is we all have one life, and we should every day wake up with gratitude and live that to the fullest, because we do not get a do-over. And I'll teach you what this part is. As you read their stories, you're going to probably find a lot of your story in their story. And you're going to find out you're a lot more alike than you're not. The only difference is some of these folks have surrounded themselves with great people. They've sought out the knowledge and they've taken risk in their life. And on the other side of that, there has been a payoff, but they took action.
Yeah. I love that. Take action. That is definitely tweetable, because sometimes the difference between those individuals that we see and we admire and we're like, how did they get there? It's the fact that they took action. They took a bet on themselves and they took some risk. Man, so much powerful stuff. Well, as you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And I wonder, aside from taking action, if there's any other word or words of wisdom that you would like to leave with them.
So, you know, here's the lesson in life, and I share this with my team as well, is we've all probably heard the saying of, you know, the five people you surround yourself with the most, particularly the ones that influence you the most, right? And you kind of look around and go, okay, that's why they're that way. That's why they're that way. You know, what would happen if you took ownership of that and the people you surround yourself with? And what I have done in my life, and I've seen successful people do that, is when you get to a point in your life and you know you need to take action, you need to reach out to people that are doing what you want to do, that are more successful than you are. They've gone down that road a little bit further. And what I have found with that is people are willing to help. Typically, people that have all the success, they have a lot of money. Look, they've got a lot of friends. They've got a lot of stuff. What really I would say is giving back to them is they want to help other people. They're legacy thinkers. And I know I have started to really kind of shift my mindset that way. I wouldn't be afraid to reach out to people that you may look up to, you may admire, and you really want to surround yourself with people that are going to push you to be your best. They're not going to let you stay average. They're not going to let you stay in this average level of thinking. And who you surround yourself with matters. And so the challenge would be, get up and go to a conference. Spend some money and go to that. Find people local in your community that you can surround yourself with. Get around bigger thinkers, because the only way you're going to think bigger is to be around people that are thinking bigger and doing bigger. And don't limit yourself. You might be the one person in your family that takes action that changes the trajectory of your family. And that's who I want to be. That's what motivates me every day, is my kids and my grandkids and great-grandkids down the road that I may never get to meet. They're going to know that their dad wasn't afraid to take action, take risks, to get out there and do things. And I want to change the trajectory of our entire family.
Man, that's really powerful. It's funny. I don't know if you know that I say this, but I say that the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing now is because I believe that good financial advice has the ability to change family trees, and everybody deserves an opportunity to change their family tree. So I love that you said that, man. That's great.
That lines up perfect. I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great, man. They can find you on the Brian Covey Show. Definitely check out Conversations with Covey. Man, this has been so great. I appreciate the deposit into my audience, this community, this platform, and I wish nothing but the best for you, man.
Likewise. And yeah, definitely hit me up. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help you. I love supporting other people in their journeys. That's how we all typically connect. And you just never know where things are going to go from there.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You too.
I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You first might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. And remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to learn more about how Jumpstart can help you become a next generation financial professional or partner with you in finding next generation talent for your organization, send us an email at hello at coachinglab.com, just in case you needed to get a pen to write that down. That's hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Bye for now, until our next conversation.